Okay, would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for salvation in Jesus Christ, for forever hope. Thank you, Lord, for your might, your majesty, your beauty, your magnificence, your glory, your honor. Thank you that we can be a part of your plan and purpose. You work all things out together for good to those who love you, to those who are called according to your purpose. And we praise you for that, an opportunity to be light in the darkness, to be truth in the midst of lies. Help us to reflect our Savior in everything we do, to honor you, to keep to the testimony of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what that expression means. This morning we will hear the victory shout of heaven. The victory shout of heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You have read one of those novels or watched the movie. In the beginning, the bad guys are having their way, wreaking havoc, injustice, and cruelty on the innocents around them. Evil seemingly carries the day throughout the majority of the story. You ride the waves of your emotions, up and down, back and forth, laughing and crying, anger and joy. But evil does not relent, and darkness covers the landscape. There is no light at the end of the tunnel, but you stay the course. Patiently, or maybe not so patiently, you wait for the tide to turn, for momentum to shift. And then it comes, those last chapters. The perseverance of the hero is rewarded as he or she rescues the downtrodden. All the wrongs are made right, and the evil empire meets its bitter doom. And you can hardly put the book down. In fact, you don't. You stay up until 3 a.m. finishing the story. And that is where we are now in our Revelation study. The tide has turned. Our God, in his power and glory, moves closer and closer to finishing off the enemy. Our excitement is off the charts as we anticipate the victory, justice, reward, and fellowship of our Lord and King. This is a really good time to be a citizen of heaven. Today in chapter 19, we re-enter God's account of the last days of earth, and we hear heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! The victory celebration has begun." We have four hallelujahs in today's text. Hallelujah number one in verse 2, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven, shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God." Hallelujah number 2 in verse 3, and again they shouted, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne, and they cried, "Amen! Hallelujah!" Hallelujah number 4, verse 6. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns." Hallelujah, the victory cry of heaven. Justice is finally served. We have arrived home, and it is our wedding day. Would you turn with me to Revelation chapter 19, verse 1? Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. for he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Once more they cried out, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And from the throne came a voice saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great. You who fear him, small and great. We have in these first five verses where God finally answers the how long question. Justice is served. If you haven't been following our Revelation study, it's speaking of the judgment of Babylon, the great prostitute. It's speaking of this world system. It's gone up in smoke. It's been devastated. It represents Satan and his power and his schemes, and he's suffering severe defeat. He's on the brink of total devastation. And heaven erupts. Actually, heaven started rejoicing in the previous chapter, back in verse 20 of 18. Heaven was called to rejoice. 18:20, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her. Here's some of the how longs. And we've had these questions over the years. How long, Lord? How long will the evil thrive? Well, here's some how longs from the Psalms. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? How long, O God, is the foe to scoff? Is the enemy to revile your name forever? O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? How long? No more. Now it's all coming to an end. We should be, John is going to be overwhelmed at the end of this, in verse 10. He's going to be overwhelmed with everything that is happening. We should be overwhelmed likewise. In fact, John is going to lose his bearings in such a manner that he's going to fall down and worship one of the angels, and the angel promptly tells him to get back up on his feet because we only worship God here in heaven. But we should be, folks, this is it. It's all coming together. It's like that book that you're reading, and you're getting to the last chapters, and the tide has turned. And the enemy now, it's just completely getting destroyed. The good guys are rising above. And this is what is happening. It's God's plan, his purpose that he's spoken to us about, is his way that he talks, his past finding out. It's all being revealed. We can't forget also, when we remember the very beginning of our Revelation study, it's the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. Apocalypse meaning revealing. All of these things, as we see more and more who Jesus Christ is, our eyes are opened wider and wider. And in heaven, that this is what breaks out. And I had thought about approaching this morning's study in this way. Can you think of a more appropriate phrase for heaven to shout than hallelujah, praise the Lord? Think about it. Now, this just isn't just idle speculation. This is what they are shouting. The word hallelujah, it's a transliteration. Halla, praise, hallelujah, Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what it means. So when we say hallelujah, praise the Lord, we're really saying praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And they're not just kind of, it's not just their outside voice. It's their loud heaven voice, like the roar of rushing waters and the peal of loud thunder rippling across heaven, shouting, angels and living creatures saying, Amen, the saints of God, they're us shouting, we're seeing it, we believed God, yes we did, but now we're seeing it. And we're shouting, and heaven trembles with the shout of praise and adoration and worship to our God. We're also going to look at later where John's going to write, these are the true words of God. These are the true words of God. We might see through the mirror dimly now. We have clear direction in Scripture, and God's telling us these things are going to happen. God will, it's, we call it, you have got several verses in your study notes, the day of the Lord, the great day of the Lord, the great and awesome day of the Lord, the great and terrible day of the Lord. And this is what this is, the culmination. The how long, Lord, how long will you tolerate evil? Well, no longer now. See, there will come a day when we won't have that question, how long, anymore, because it will. None of the evil that we see around us, it comes to a stop. God has said it would. And now we see that happening. The saints in heaven, the angels, the living creatures have seen what God moving his hand on earth, and heaven erupts. Hallelujah. Shouting, crying out, praise the Lord God Almighty. All glory and power to him. Exciting stuff. Our excitement should be off the charts. I have just this week, I talk to you sometimes, my study overwhelms me, and it does. And it did this week, but then it had a different twist to it. I just astounded, amazed, overwhelmed. I thought, I've got to be able to communicate this in some way, this opening up, this culmination, God bringing all of these things to pass. We finally have an answer to the how long question. I want to bring out something to the hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Verse 3, hallelujah, the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And that was a difficult one for me because it's saying that the punishment of the wicked is going to be forever and ever. Honestly, it feels a little bit like piling on. But that God is showing us his decisiveness. The rebellion will not occur again. His mighty hand will be over in his judgment forever. We won't ever, you know how the shows and the person, and you think the murderer is lurking about? And so what do? They go down in the basement to check. You know, are you with me on that? And you're sitting there, you think, why are you going down in the basement? You know they're down there with the knife or the chainsaw or whatever. Because that evil, evil will not be lurking ever again. Ever again, because God's eternal judgment and punishment. You also have some definitions and two articles, excerpts from articles on the vengeance of God. The vengeance of God, and we talk about vengeance. Is vengeance good or is vengeance bad? It depends on whose it is. When it's yours or mine, it's sin. When I'm seeking revenge or you are, it's sin in whatever form that takes. But vengeance is good when it's God, and he tells us, vengeance is mine. Now we keep waiting and waiting for God to execute his vengeance. This is that time. This answers the how long. You'll see a definition. I'll see if I can at least reasonably quickly find it. The wrath of God is God's settled anger, his vengeance towards sin expressed in the repayment of suitable vengeance on the guilty sinner. What is vengeance in its form as God executes it? It's he's bringing payment for sin. It's escapable, as John Piper says in his article. It's escapable while you're still on earth if you look to the one who received the wrath, Jesus Christ, our wrath taker. It's the only way to get around, to get away from, to escape God's vengeance. But his vengeance will come for the saints of God, for those who've trusted in him. It's a good thing. It shows he is thoroughly and completely dealing with the sin issue. For those who haven't trusted Christ, who sought another way, another path, then it works out to their eternal damnation. But we finally have an answer to the how long question. Secondly, we arrive home and are prepared for the upcoming wedding. Now this is, we're going to go just a little bit topical on this, because what we have is we have at the beginning, pre-tribulation, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians that those who are believing in Christ at that time are caught up to be with the Lord in the air. But we've also seen that there's going to be multitudes and multitudes. In fact, Scripture tells us past counting of those who will believe in Christ who will refuse the mark of the beast. And they will believe in Christ and receive his gift of salvation still here on this earth. And the majority of them will be martyred. Many of them beheaded. Well, we'll see that many of them, though, at the end of this time, and now this is where we're coming, this wedding that we're going to be talking about, the wedding celebration, the chronology will be, we will be raptured, we will come before the Lord to give an account. Not an account whether we're saved or not. A believer does not come before the Lord to give an account whether he or she is saved or not. It's the works that we have done. And there will be rewards for that. I believe then, as we look a little bit later in the verses 6 through 10, when it talks about the fine linens, that these are the works that we have done by faith, not to earn our salvation, but as a result of our salvation. These fine linens. So it's like if you just picture the wedding celebration. And so we're there in heaven. Folks, picture the anticipation. We're there and we're like, somebody pinch me again. Is this really happening? It is. These are the true words of God. See, this is these types of things are what help us to put aside our sinfulness and our pettiness and our bitterness and our resentment. We trade it away for honor to our God and looking forward. This is why Paul says to set your mind on the things of heaven. So all this preparation is going on and we're there, and in the excitement of a wedding, the excitement of a graduation. And I can remember I missed my other graduations, my first graduation at Moody, and the others, we were away from the area, didn't get back. But the robe and all of that, and even as an adult, it was just so exciting. And if you get an honor and you wear your honor medal around for the Honor Society, but this is just going to be so amazing. But these are the true. This is where we are going to be. So we're going to be, and this is found in this middle step. We arrive home. There's a song, I can't think of the group right now, but it's Finally Home. We're finally going to be home. We're not home now. We're finally going to be home in 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are of good courage. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we all must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, which is, I believe, where we will be now. This time, the tribulation period, the 7 years are going on the earth, the saints, the first crop, you might say, will be in heaven. This be at this judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he or she has done in the body, whether good or evil. And I believe, again, any good thing that we have done has been a result of our enduring faith that God has blessed us with. So we'll see these fine linens here in a few minutes, and then we'll see the linens, too, that we're wearing as we look next week as the armies of heaven roll out of heaven and they're dressed in their finest. We will have this preparation time. We arrive home and are prepared for the wedding. Romans 14, verses 10 to 12. Romans 14, 10, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. that each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is all is what's going on then, I believe, in heaven during these 7 years. Now, so we finally have an answer to the how long question. We arrive home and are prepared for the upcoming wedding. We receive then, thirdly, the blessing of all the promises of God. Revelation 19, verse 6. Revelation 19, 6. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder crying out. What are they saying, folks?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Are you there with me yet? Just try to picture this scene in heaven. You will be there. I mean, this isn't just kind of, this is shouting loud. The roar of the ocean, the peal of thunder, shouting, hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. NIV and some others really have that translated better, because you missed the point. It was granted to her to clothe herself. It says that, but this clothing was given to her. The works done in faith, the works that Ephesians 2 verse 10 talks about, were crafted for us, that we by faith did those, again, not to earn or keep our salvation, but as a fruit of our salvation. Now we get those clothes to put on, and we're going to look so good. I mean, I don't know if there are mirrors or not, but we'll be going around to each other. You look so great. Can you believe this? Can you believe this is happening? You know, then somebody really spiritual will say, well, of course, you know it's happening because God said it would happen. But the rest of us will be caught off guard and we'll be saying, can you believe this is really happening? And so we're given this clothing. However, God works this out, but it's designed and put together with the things that we've done. He's put this together, and now we're given these clothes. Again, we're still in this period, the tribulation on earth, this wedding celebration, because see, there's the marriage, and then there's the marriage supper. Now, we receive the blessing of all the promises of God. I want you to take your study sheet and just round to the back. Christ's engagement promise, and it could be promises, either one, promise to his bride, the church. As we anticipate these things, as it draws closer in our minds, as it becomes more of a reality, now let's go over these things. And all of these that I have listed there are right from God's word, from Ephesians 5 and from John 14. Now just picture then you have the husband, and he told the wife, if you'll marry me, this is what I'm going to do. This is the career that I'm going to have. This is how I'm going to provide for us, or I'll support you in your career, or whatever these promises are. Well, now, who do we have making the promises? But Lord God, Lord of lords, and King of kings. Who is he making those promises to? To you, to me, if we have trusted in Christ, if we have authentic faith, we've believed in him and received his gift of eternal life. These are the promises. The church, professing believers now in this church age, we're called the church. We're called the bride of Christ. It's our wedding day to Christ. Here's what he's promised, and he'll carry on. To love his church. To give up his life for her. He did that, didn't he? That's why we can have salvation. To make her holy and clean. See, you're going to be holy and clean. How do I know that? Might not be able to tell that by looking at you. We look at each other and see the way we act, see some of the things that we say, maybe the way we might, a little bit of gossip here, a little bit of resentment there. If we just went on that, We might not be able to tell that one day we're going to be holy and clean, but we'll go on God's word, won't we? To make her holy and clean, to wash her by the cleansing of God's word. God's Christ's promise to you, to me, to go to heaven and prepare a place. See, this is happening now. Or maybe he's got it already, I don't know. But he told me, so I'm leaving. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. That's part of this, what's going to be revealed during this time. This is it. Remember John 14? Yeah, we remember that, Lord. Well, here you go. And we're going to, and then we'll be right back to, wow, can you believe this is happening? To come back and take her to be with him. He promised he's going to come back. Again and again in Scripture, it speaks of the second coming of Jesus Christ. One day to present herself, now this is the wedding day, to one day present her to himself as a glorious church. And this is going to be fantastic, amazing, astounding, beyond. We don't have words that will capture it. We do not have words that will capture this when Christ presents us to himself in this perfect, holy, clean, glorified form. To present her without a spot or wrinkle, to present her, always speaking, the her is the church, the bride, us, to present her without any blemish, to present her holy and without fault. We've got plenty of faults. Now, I do. I won't recite any of them to you because then you won't let me pastor the church anymore, but not then. And I know it'll be like that because, see, that was Christ's promise. And when we see him in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, this preparation. It goes on down in verse 9. The angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And again, the wedding celebration and then the marriage supper of the Lamb. And obviously we have some good direction on this to be able to say absolutely positively this is how it's happening. But I've read a lot of different commentators and articles, and I believe the timeline will be raptured, will be in heaven during the tribulation, the wedding celebration, giving an account, the rewards, we've arrived home. I believe the marriage supper of the Lamb is back on earth. We will be united with all the saints of old, the saints that have, the people who've trusted in Christ through the tribulation and weren't martyred, who were on the earth to populate, be the earthly inhabitants of the millennial kingdom. And I believe that is when the marriage supper happens. The Jewish wedding celebrations were extended. Well, this one's going to be extended for quite some time. And if you can picture the feast and the fellowship and our Lord, our King, no more, I mean, God is still always, God is spirit, so he's always going to be spirit, but no more, it's like, well, we live by faith, not by sight, no, we'll see. There will be Jesus, King Jesus, on his throne on this earth, the marriage supper of the Lamb. It says, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper. And this is somewhat up for debate, too. I don't think we have to burn too many brain cells as we look at this, but it's like, well, is it the church? Because the church, if someone said, well, the church wouldn't be invited to its own marriage supper. Well, yeah, it would be in a sense, but it seems like it's like all the saints are there. Old Testament saints are there, Elijah and Moses and Noah. And that really is what makes sense, is that it is all there. This is a grand, grand celebration. Now, when we get into heaven, when all of these things of earth are done at the end of the millennial kingdom, as we'll be looking at here in 2 weeks, and the great white throne judgment, then we won't have all of these distinctions, but we do as far as God's plan worked out on this earth. But everyone will be here in a joyous celebration who has at some point trusted in God for their salvation. everyone, as in everyone non-qualified, will not be there. You have to place your faith in God, the salvation that he offers to be at this marriage supper. All of these things that we've been speaking of this morning, the celebration, the reward, arriving home, all of these things means you have to believe in God. You have to look to him, trust in him, receives the salvation that he has offered. Christ fulfills all of his engagement promises to his bride. Some of you have already gone to graduations, celebrations, I would imagine, and there's going to be more coming up this summer, and there are going to be weddings, and it's an exciting time, and it's neat, and it's seeing people will just it's multiply that and multiply it and multiply it, and what the celebration in heaven, and just picture as you, if you're going to plan something like that for one of your children, you want it to be the very best. You want them to just be thrilled, don't you? You want to express, you want it just to be the height of their summer, the celebration you've given to them. Well, God is love. It's not going to be just something, well, here, I'll put the food on the table. Come on. No, we are his children. And he is going to thrill us with this love endeavor, with this wedding celebration, with this marriage supper, this everything that follows through. It says here then at the last, as soon as I find it, he said to me, these are the true words of God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And you would think we wouldn't need to be reminded of this, but apparently we do. These are the true words of God. John, this man of God, and he had been a man of God for easily 70 years, an apostle of Christ, a writer of Scripture, someone who has a base, a solid base and a solid foundation. He's so overwhelmed with this. He kind of lost it for a moment and went to worship the angel, and the angel said no. You say that to give us a picture of how overwhelming, wonderfully overwhelming this should be. This should just, it just knocked me off balance in studying it this week. Just, it's like, it's just unreal. And it will be. It will be like that for us. The blessing of all the promises. Worship God as a fellow servant. And then it has this statement at the end, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And, of course, that brings a lot of discussion, but I think it could very possibly mean this. In faithfully holding to the testimony of Jesus, our lives speak to the apocalypse, his revealing. It says here that I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. So what are we doing? Holding to the testimony of Jesus. That is a witness to Jesus Christ. Well, just like when we take the bread and the cup. When we take the bread and the cup, it's what? We proclaim his death, what? Until he comes. And this is what it is. We're saying Jesus is coming again. This is real. The King James and New King James in Hebrews 11:1, and I can remember years ago this is sinking in my mind. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our holding to the testimony of Jesus Christ is substance of our hope. It's evidence of things that aren't seen, and it's evidence to this world. It's like, in a sense, a prophetic voice, and I believe that's what this is saying. There's a song that part of the lyrics are, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Paul said he'd rather be with the Lord, but he said, I'll stay here if this is what God wants and God can use me. Is heaven your home? When you Do you have this grand vision that your salvation culminates in this? Or is your salvation, it's something, maybe it's like the critics, and maybe it's a crutch, maybe it's good for when you need, when you're in a pinch. And then when I die, I'll go to heaven. Is that what you're looking to God for? Or are we so much in love with this life, and we profess to know the Lord and to love Him and to look forward to seeing Him, but we'd really were, was it a Hezekiah cried like a baby when he thought he was going to die and begged for 15 more years? He wasn't really anticipating meeting the Lord, was he? And I'm not trying to be harsh in this, but just we always need to examine, what are we looking to God for? What have we received from God? I truly believe that we sense these things deep in our spirit if we're truly a believer in Jesus Christ. That this truth, this meeting Him one day, all of these events, it ignites something in our lives, a joy and a celebration. And we just can't wait to get out the door and serve Him and to bow down before Him in whatever He would call us to. Because it is every bit worth it, up to and including dying for the sake, for the cause of Jesus Christ, if you'd pray with me. Thank you, Lord, again for this day, for your great love and care, for your word of truth. These are the true words of God, how we praise you. Pray that each person here might know you, love you, know you for sure, Lord, not hanging on to the loose fabric of some religion, but feet firmly planted on the rock of salvation, Jesus Christ, by grace, through faith, no works. How we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.